Boss Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right, welcome to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. I am Joe, and with me is...
Caleb.
And...
Jason.
That's right, we're here, we're back from the future, sort of.
From kind of. The living dead.
Whoa.
Whoa, of the future?
Yes. That's heavy,
maybe.
Doc.
Yeah. But yes, we've gone through the future of Back to the Future 2, and now
that's true, yeah.
Back to the Future 2 is the past.
Right.
So the future is now the past, and people's heads are exploding somewhere. And unfortunately, the Cubs did not make it to the World Series, so this does
true.
Prove that it was not a documentary.
Yep, there you go.
That's very
true.
Conclusive proof.
Good.
Did any of you gents partake in the Back to the Future Day?
I did.
As did I.
Yeah, it was... there's no resisting it, really. Once I realized... I forget what streaming service it was even
Amazon.
On. But yeah, it was like, once I saw it, I was like, how could I not watch that?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you go for number one or all of them? Or?
No, I just started with two.
Okay.
And then normally...
I was tempted, but I went with one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Normally I just like do start one and then like, you know, go all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, well, okay, it's, you know, it is Back to the Future Day, but it is sort of related more to the second one. So, okay, mm-hmm. I'll just start with the second
right.
one.
There
then,
you go.
Then when that one finished, because it ends so good into that third one, I was like,
yeah.
I guess I'll watch the third one, even though it's like 1 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the bad thing about watching the first one, too, is that I think it was about the same deal for me. It was like 1 or 2 a.m. when I finished it. It was like, oh, I really want to watch two. And then I woke up in the morning and was like, I think I'd rather play other things.
Yeah.
The day is dead.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something about the, when a trilogy, that second part, like when mm-hmm. it pulls you in. I mean, you know, obviously it's good when all of them pull you towards,
yes.
but something about that second one when they can pull it off just
yeah.
right. We're like, oh my gosh, like that one was just so, I mean, just.
Yeah. Like 9 times out of 10, the second one is like the gold of the trilogy, but. About half the time for me, even though I know everybody's feelings on the second in the trilogy, the first one is still like my favorite for whatever reason. Like Lord of the Rings, that's like
for wait for Back to the Future or
well, no, I mean
trilogies
just trilogies
in general.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, Lord of the Rings especially. I can watch the first one over and over and over again for some reason. And
yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me. It's like, why don't I want to see what happens next?
Yeah. Yeah, I can see the first one is definitely...
It's something about watching Bean get killed. It just feels poetic somehow.
Like every... Most other Sean Bean films.
Yeah.
Right.
It feels like home.
Right. Maybe that's it.
Like, wait a minute, Sean Bean's out there. Wait a minute.
I feel bad for him having that television show just because you suppose everybody's just waiting.
Waiting for, yeah. It's like, no, I'm the star. There's no way you're going to kill me.
Right.
Well, we had
this time I live.
We had this excellent twist where... You actually do die, but
no.
Like, no, I'm putting the what the heck is his name? Steven Seagal protocol in effect. I'm not allowed to die.
It's my contract.
It's the rules. From now on, I'm Seagal in it.
Well, so okay, so we talked about some movies, yes, released Back to the Future and stuff. It sounds like you did not partake in the Back to the Future. What did you partake in since last we spoke?
He hoverboarded.
I started playing Dead Space 3 again.
Okay. Yeah, I remember you mentioned that last week, so you're still sticking with that.
Yep. Going through. Still.
Do you have any new
spooky as heck
least favorite characters? Anybody that you're really hoping dies, like, really soon?
Isaac Clarke.
Whoa. No. I actually kind of like the fact that, like, Isaac actually is, like, messed up and trying to make it through the game. It's like, oh, man, what are they going to do to Isaac this time? Anyways, I don't know.
Do you think you're going to finish it? Do you have a goal of finishing it this month?
Yeah, it's kind of my aim, is to try and get that. I realize it's going to be kind of pushing it with the end of the month coming in, crashing upon us pretty quickly.
The Saturday, yep.
It's running at you full force.
I might not complete the whole game, but I will definitely wrap it up this time around, since I got a little ways in and then it just sort of drifted away for a while. But I'll finish it this time, gosh darn it, because
it's
a good series.
Just finish all the DLC instead.
Yeah, I don't have any of that right now, so I'll just do the
core. That would be way quicker, but yeah. Just saying.
It's true.
It's an option.
Yeah.
Fair point.
All right. Anything else worth mentioning?
Procured tickets for a certain film debuting in December.
Okay.
I assume the rest of you all have also...
The Sound of Music in 4D. Well, I assume that's what
the 4K,
4K, 4D.
Man, I can't wait to smell those hills.
Yes.
They will be thoroughly alive with music at that point.
Yes, they better be alive.
But the Dolby Atmos, you will never know what hits you.
Oh, yes. Man, I'm excited already right now. You can tell.
It's a musical.
Yep.
Okay, so that's good. Yeah. I did that as well.
Yeah, it's been not.
How about you, Jason?
Not too much else.
I have like a super, super, super recent thing, as in just happened this afternoon.
Well, okay.
Just because I thought it was so cool that they did it. And it's going to be a major surprise since it is Destiny related.
Oh,
no.
I know, it's
crazy.
Take
a shot,
right?
Everybody.
Yeah.
But it's also Halloween related, and that's that they. Just starting today, did a massive redecoration of the tower.
Oh, okay.
They did up everything with like purple candles and streamers that are done in the shape of engrams.
Nice.
And they started this entire thing where you go and get. There's an old woman that sells. Just the different little pieces of artwork to customize how your character loadout looks.
Right.
None of the really big thing, like effectively gamer tag type stuff.
Shaders and stuff.
Yeah, and shaders too. But she'll give you a little sack, and you go around and you trick or treat to all of the different people, and then you come back to her with your full sack of candy, like literally candy too.
Uh-huh.
And she'll give you like a prize at the end, and the prize is one of those I know there's a term for it, but one of those paper cutout masks.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, okay. Of like different special characters from the game, and so I got the Cryptarch as
nice
as a paper mask. So I have this kind of hot hunter girl like running around with a Cryptarch face on her, and cool. I also got.
Is it random or?
Yeah, you can. Get unlock, I guess there's like 16 of them to begin with, something like that.
Okay.
Of the actual characters. And then there's a bunch of random stuff too, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Like I've seen people with skull masks. And basically it replaces your helmet in the game, which is kind of a bad thing because you lose that much.
A lot of light
defense
and armor.
Or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But they rigged it so the trade-off is actually works pretty good because... they have all of these little side quests that are related to you wearing the mask different places too.
Oh,
nice. So like during the Crucible, there's little bonus things that you can get, and it's all combined into this thing where you can get like better and better masks, and a certain amount of them are supposed to be like cheap paper ones that you can buy special glue to make them more permanent.
Oh,
so
okay.
You can keep them after the entire thing like runs out.
Okay.
And the really rare ones are already permanent, of course.
Right.
But yeah, like some of the different characters actually already have masks on them. The Cryptarch already has an engram mask, like a golden engram mask on.
Oh, okay.
And the Speaker has the actual Traveler as as a mask.
Nice.
So at first I was trying to figure out what the heck it was. It was like, is it the moon? Why is he like the moon so much? Oh, okay. Yeah, it makes more sense.
Now, how long are they doing this?
I assume just through Halloween, because normally their stuff runs exactly a week. But their 1 week mark usually ends up switching over on Tuesdays, so they did things a little bit early. So I don't know if that means that it's completely off kilter for this entire thing. Maybe it does actually finish right on the 31st. But anyway, I was already having a ton of fun with it. But the way that a lot of people found out about it was that they did more of the microtransaction stuff. And, of course, everybody loves being angry about microtransaction stuff.
Yes.
Because the internet loves to be angry.
Right. Mm-hmm. But one of them was kind of awesome. And it's super expensive. I'm not going to say how much. But for a video game thingy. But you could have one of your emotes now as the complete Thriller dance.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's really good. Like,
oh,
down
nice.
To every little detail, like the little like neck shake and everything.
Oh,
man, it's good. Anyway, if you want to check out a lot of that stuff, I actually I did the Twitch thing, and you can check out my Twitch stream of it. I threw the link into our link stuff. So.
Oh, okay. So we'll
yeah,
we'll
it's
we'll
going
post.
Up right now.
And where can they see that?
Well, if you would like to find that link, you can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme. You can also leave comments there. Let us know what you think. Maybe you've finished your homework and want to tell us what you thought of the new Star Wars teaser trailer.
True.
And all of that can be had at facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme.
Sweet.
And
Thank you.
A question for everyone. If you want to listen to KSU even when you're not in your radio, you can stream us whenever you want at ksu.org.
Woo-hoo.
Or on the TuneIn Radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound. And of course, our pro tip, as always,
you can find us faster by searching for our call letters, KSCU. That is unique to our station on the globe.
That's right. All right. Well, I'll quickly kind of go over what I did. So, did some more test streaming. So far, not bad. But, you know.
Feeling kind of comfortable with it at this point? Or?
Yeah.
It's
just
looking really good from what I saw of it earlier.
Thank you. Yeah, just still need to keep doing it more and just finding. Like, I think I figured out where the lights need to be for the green screen to stay pretty solid. So,
yeah.
Oh, were you going to say?
The lighting of a green screen is always one of the bigger challenges.
Yeah.
From what I hear from professionals that put their things on YouTube.
I was lucky enough to see some of your earliest ones, and a lot of the things that were going wrong, I'd be tempted to keep just because they were kind of cool looking to me.
Yeah, they were interesting.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Just that homebrew feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still.
Like I kind of. There was a weird miragey feel behind you for a little while that was really pixelated. That it was like the Mushroom Kingdom was trying to envelop you behind or something like that.
Yeah. That might have been more of the other problem that was happening as well. So, but anyway, so doing that, still continuing with that. And then while not doing that, I got like on a hook of just wanting to watch more Naruto Shippuden.
Oh, okay.
So I've been like, I got the list out on my phone of, okay, these are the filler episodes, skip those.
I did watch,
there were like two, as I was going through the non-filler episodes, then on the list there were like two that were, they considered them filler, but they were like Jiraiya focused. And since he's my favorite character, I was like, screw it, I'm watching those two.
Yeah, right.
And I'm glad I did because they were still good. They just kind of talked about like a little bit about his past and that sort of stuff. But yeah, so I've been like watching those and I tweeted it like, you know, cause I'm super far behind. I think they're on like episode, what, like 400 something or something, I think.
Yeah.
And it's an ungodly number.
They're like probably 3 years past where you are. Yeah. Like
I think I'm on like 150 something now or something like that. So it's a ways back, but I still like, I don't want to spoil anything, but yeah, it was just like, no.
My heart went out to you because it was like, no. Yeah, I remember that moment. Yeah.
It was so awesome. I was just like,
were really awesome episodes.
Like some of my favorites, like it made me think too. I was like, okay, so Jiraiya is like my favorite character. And I was trying to think like, okay, I like Kiba, so would he be second? Like I was trying to think of my top three, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that could be for a discussion later. But yeah, it was just, I always loved in the early like Naruto's, whenever they did flashbacks to Jiraiya, Tsunade, and Uchimaru, like when they were teenagers or they were younger and they were doing their stuff. I was like, I always loved those parts. And so the section that I was like watching started to hit more and more of those, especially since like they split with Sosuke hanging out with Orochimaru, you know, like kind of focusing on him because I like his character. That was another thing that was kind of depressing about, but anyway, it was like, it's like, I was like, I'm trying not to spoil stuff.
Right,
it's so hard. But yeah, so it was just cool, like seeing and, it had like hands down. I was like, yes, I got to write this this line down. But one of the flashbacks of Jiraiya, like the first time he meets Tsunade, I was like, yo, I'm Jiraiya. You can send me the love letter later. I was like, oh, that's so good. That's so good. Oh, man.
Yeah.
And then just having like Naruto like flashbacking to when he was hanging out with him and like, training with him and stuff, and then seeing just like all the frog stuff, like the frog area and everything. Like I was like, oh, this stuff is so cool. but yeah, so that's what I've been. That's what I was
kind
of focusing on besides the streaming stuff. But
good on ya.
But Caleb brought up a point. The homework from last week before we get into the watch party.
Yes.
We got to talk about the new Star Wars trailer.
Of course.
So I assume you gents watched it at least once.
Yes. Jason's like giving this a side eye, which means yes, he just doesn't want to say anything. But we have to say something because this is the radio. You can't just see him like give a side eye.
You guys know me too well.
So I take it good trailer.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Definitely positive feels about it.
So like gonna go it like watching, you know, over and over, which I assume we all have at least, you
right
know, once
a few times
kind of picking out the little pieces within and noticing just like, okay, wait, so that angle, like this shot, like so who do you think Rey is crying over in the scene in the snow?
Sheesh.
Like I was like going back and looking, like okay, maybe that's Han because that looks like the hair, and I was like, no, wait, but the color of the jacket in that light, it looks more like Finn's. Oh, wait, and then someone brought up like, well, maybe it's Chewbacca, because what this trailer, like, with me, it was interesting, like, it was a lot of Han Solo, and then kind of like hearing about stuff, how at first I thought that Han would, he'd be in the movie, but like, you know, it wasn't going to be anything big, but it kind of sounds like he's got a pretty major role. Like,
I wonder if they're kind of like setting him up to be like the mentor character for the new crew.
Well, yeah, especially with that, like the part where, you know, they talk about like X number of years has passed since Return of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. And so like it's sometimes it's hard. It's like to forget like on, you know, Earth, it's one planet, we're all on here. So as far as like news and finding out stuff, it's pretty easy. Like when something major happens, like you kind of like you find out about it generally.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Or at least that it happened.
Yeah.
And it's funny too, like a lot of science fiction doesn't have an internet per se. Like I know the big Star Wars fans are going to be like, well, there's the HoloNet, blah, blah, blah. But you don't see that in any of the movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so effectively it isn't really there.
Yeah. So it's like having to remember like, This is a series that focuses on like galaxies and tons of planets, and especially, mm-hmm. you know, when they talk about like the Outer Rim, where mm-hmm. you could live out there and essentially not really know a whole lot of what's going on unless it comes to you.
Right.
So,
I mean, that's what it's there for.
Yeah. So essentially like not really knowing about like all this stuff that supposedly may have happened with like, especially with uh-huh. like when you think about with the Jedi, how the Jedi essentially really died off. Like, mm-hmm. even earlier on, like, you mm-hmm. know, in prequel stuff, having gone through, you know, the New Hope and Empire, stuff like that, mm-hmm. where essentially it was mostly just, like, Luke,
uh-huh.
Vader,
yeah.
the Emperor, like, a small handful of Force users,
that was...
you know, mm-hmm. that could still be, like, a quote-unquote hokey religion, like that's, like... crazy people talk about that, like that stuff doesn't exist. So you add another 30 years to that.
Oh yeah.
It's understandable that people would be like, there's sort of these tales of maybe stuff happening, and then that's
passes into legend.
Yeah, yeah. Like war hero stories, like they always, like you hear about them and you're like, did that, could someone actually like fly a ship into the middle of the into the middle of the Death Star, blow it up, and then fly out again? Grandpa, you're just telling stories again.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, like, having that you know, that line of Han's and like, no, it's all true.
Uh-huh.
And I forget what article it was that I was reading, but they kind of made an interesting point of how Han's, like, characters evolved since everything that's gone on, where he mm-hmm. was like, ah, that's just a hokey religion, you know, yeah. blah, 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 it's nuts, too. Like, yeah, you know, the girl I like... you know, her brother is, you know, used the Force. I saw, you know,
sort of married
I saw
into
all this
it all.
Stuff. Yeah, it's all true.
Seen
yep.
some stuff. Seen some stuff. That's
yeah.
all I can say.
So going back to the question of who may that body be down there, having like seen more of Han and more stuff, like it makes me think like, you know, like it could be Han just because like, hey, they're using him a lot in this one. And mm-hmm. it's like, that's a very like, powerful punch
yeah.
to take him out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I know, like, you know, you can think on that. And then the other thing that people were kind of outraging about was like, where's Luke? Where's Luke? You
yeah.
know, where's Luke? Well, does this mean that Luke's not this, blah, blah, blah? And first off, it's like, come on, they can't show everything in the
yeah.
trailer. It's like,
I still haven't
on.
Actually really seen Leia either. Like, glimpse. Like, yeah, neither of the Skywalkers have made an appearance in this film that we know of. Like, in the trailers, I should say, like not much.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, that was the first thing. Was just like, well, they gotta leave some stuff for surprise.
Yeah.
Like,
plus Abrams is famous for like misdirection in trailers and stuff. So it's like,
yeah,
yeah. And Abrams actually came out today saying like, oh, that was actually very purposeful that we did that. But who knows what the heck that means?
Either. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think if I've been like trying to think of like, okay, like who that body may be, or like situations like, okay, maybe I think this is what's going to happen. You know, like, cause they show, Kylo facing off with Finn, like in that one shot,
right?
Like you see the back of Kylo, cause he's got his, I know there was a theory going around too, of like, Kylo Ren is Luke.
Oh
yeah.
Blah,
I've
blah,
never
blah.
Heard that theory.
Like, well, they
already did like the Entertainment Weekly pictures of him.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't
know. And in that shot, it's like his helmet's off and that's Adam Driver's head. Like you see his hair back.
Yeah.
It's like
he has like signature hair.
Yeah. That's, so,
yeah.
Yeah. Unless there's some other crazy wacky thing, but yeah, I'm thinking like, okay, so he probably has more, I'm assuming, this is sort of theory. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming he has a little bit more experience with a lightsaber than Finn, probably.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. that's what kind of made me think, like, that maybe that's Finn that gets taken out there, because
it's possible.
Like, I don't see like him being able to stand up, like you know, like unless he was getting like a ton of training, but you know, like
honestly, I think that's probably setting up for what they and. I think I've mentioned this, like the type of scene that always gets me is the like friends come in in the clutch type of thing. Just because Star Wars always has those in them.
Yeah.
And so.
Oh, yeah. Right back to the beginning.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's what's going to happen there. But I don't know who the heck would be able to save him.
My thought was Luke. Like, that's when Luke might show up. Maybe. But yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I was like. I was going back, like trying to look at that scene of her, like when she's crying over somebody, like, okay, is that hair? Is it this? Like,
they
who
did it
is
really
that?
There's enough little things that you can be like, oh, it could have been. That looks sort of like a bandle, but that's kind of furry.
That brown is the same as Han's. And kind of Finn's. So they both have like a kind of similar jacket sort of thing.
Yeah. Why would Chewbacca wear a jacket?
Yeah, but maybe it's what is it? We won't know until
look at this Ewok. It's so cute. Half size of Wookiee.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the other thing too that people were mentioning that I didn't even catch the first few times was just like the whole like that snow area, like it's like man-made stuff, like it's not. Like, you're like,
and you look at the movie poster. It definitely raises some questions about what some stuff could be.
Yeah,
but who knows? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I like too that they took like the samples of the classic themes, but kind of like tweaked them a little bit. I thought that was really cool too, adding certain extra. Yeah. Sounds to him and stuff.
Yeah, it's gonna be exciting to see what comes out of this, because like there is so little to work off of here that making any sort of definitive statement is just setting yourself up for not really knowing what you're talking about.
Yeah,
not to say that you'd be wrong, but like trying to make a definitive statement about anything right now is sort of a
okay.
Well, that's the nice thing is the trailers that they've done so far, they allow us to speculate like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But still like be,
yeah.
I mean, that's good, instead of like, well, okay, that's clearly that, or that's, you know, like they give you enough, but not like overkill where you know, like everything, which is what I'm glad. It's like,
yes.
Oh, thank you. It's just a cool enough trailer. You get little hints of stuff, but you're not like, okay, so that's going to be this, that's going to be that.
Yeah. Honestly, the thing that I loved the most about the trailer was that instead of like all of the other trailers and teasers up until now have been kind of a series of spectacles to say like, ooh, look at this new world, this is why you should think it's cool,
big shot, the big money shot sort of stuff, like whoa, this
stuff. Kinda or at least enough to kind of tickle you a little bit, but this one, it made it feel like this is a real place.
Yeah.
Everything felt like authentic.
Yeah.
It was like, I can see this actually happening in the real world at this point.
Well, that's one of the things I actually like about this new these new movies in general, is that they feel like they're kind of more, for lack of a better phrase, grounded, like the latter three of the trilogies, you know, the four, five, and six. Like, they feel there's a certain weight to the world, certain wear on everything that feels like, okay, that it's not, they didn't have like 10,000 droids to polish all the ships all the time.
they
actually, like, some things are broken down, and they're really broken down.
And I like the kind of best we can tell the direction that the Empire has taken is that, well, having a ton of kind of cruddy troops didn't seem to work all that well the first time around, so maybe we'll just have like really good specialists, and that's our entire deal.
Whole army of SEAL team.
Yeah, and it looked pretty cool.
Yeah.
So even down to just having a plain old TIE fighter with more like elite, quote unquote, colors painted on it, so it looks like somebody who's like spent some time training or whatever instead of just a straight off the assembly line TIE fighter.
Yeah.
I wonder if
that brings a lot of kind of cool authenticity to it.
Mm-hmm. I also wonder if possibly the Empire might end up being more like those private military organizations.
Maybe.
Something along those lines. Maybe not like as small as some of those can be, but like, because they're like, I can imagine a privatized force of people being smaller, more specialist focused.
The only reason why I don't think that's probably going to happen is because of the entire Kylo thing where he's saying like to the Vader mask.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I forget what the exact
line is. Like, I'm going to finish what you started.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And it makes you wonder, like, well, he started a lot of stuff.
Yeah, what exactly...
What aspect of this is he so enamored with? So, yeah. I mean, heck, it could be like, I want to be the first completely cybernetic person. I don't know.
I don't think he started that on purpose.
No, I understand. It's just kind of to illustrate my point.
Yeah, it raises a lot of questions like, what is he? Because then it makes you think, too, of the relationship between Vader and the Emperor. Like, they kind of wanted different things, kind of wanted the same thing. Like, you know, just how going about it, you know, like, how is Kylo going to be like... How is he gonna shoot for things, and then with this, you know, since I don't even know if they're gonna be called the Empire anymore.
Right.
I don't know if I want to say I was reading somewhere that like both sides have like different kind of like different names to them or something now. But,
makes sense.
But yeah.
And the other side too is there was a disconnect obviously between the Emperor and Vader that. I mean, was brought up a lot more in kind of the other fiction that was now kind of vaporized. But that feeling is what's still always been there, that he's not necessarily on the same page type of thing. And so it makes me wonder if they're going to kind of have the same sort of thing happen this time with Kylo and this new Empire-ish organization.
Yeah.
Because when you see the wide shot of the stage, it's not Kylo in front of all of the people. It's some very Emperor or Empire general-looking guy.
I forget his name. But there's a guy that leads on the Star Killer base. I forget his name because he was on the panel, the actor, you know, at Comic-Con.
Okay.
Like, I was on, so, yeah. Because there's, like, there's Captain Phasma, who's Gwendolyn.
Right.
But, you know, and she's like, I don't know. I don't know if they're making her like the head of the stormtroopers, but she's definitely like this specialty captain sort of.
She seemed like the elite captain or something like that.
Yeah. But yeah, there's definitely a sort of head Empire officer guy.
Right.
You know,
the seat of the Emperor is filled by this person. Whether it's whether he calls himself Emperor or not, that's the
role
it's
not.
He's in.
Yeah, I forget. It's like some general. They have his name. Like they have. If we look at the list of characters, like they have it. I just kind of forgotten because they haven't really shown much of him. So
yeah, it's just going to be really interesting seeing how all of these little chunks fit together, because you know they're going to have it all figured out because Lucasfilm would not allow it any other way.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, it.
Do you mean Dom Hall Gleason as General Hux?
Yeah, that's it.
That guy. Still
Hux.
No idea. But
Simon Pegg has a credit on this.
Yeah, he was in a. They showed him at the panel. Uh-huh. They had a little behind the scenes video, which they eventually did release also.
Okay.
And yeah, he's in there like he got to be in a suit like creature or something like that.
Okay.
They showed him he was like he had the head part off and he's like, I got to live out my dream or something. This is the best day of my life. Like,
nice.
But yeah, so I don't know what character he's particularly playing or if he's just like some random you know one, but he's
it'll be funny if he becomes like the random fan favorite again. like
that
nobody really counted on.
Kind of like Boba Fett. Like, oh, that guy looks cool.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, that's a cool looking helmet, sir.
I like this cut of your helmet, sir.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of animals, If you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. Through help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. All right, so any further stuff on the Star Wars trailer?
No, I'm done with it.
All right. Well,
I'm so done.
We definitely want to hear your thoughts, your theories, what you think out there on the trailer. And, of course, Caleb, how can they do that?
You can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme. Leave a comment, like our page on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter. You can keep up with all the stuff that we talk about during the week. It'll be awesome. Let us know what you think.
Yes, let us know. All right, I say
Let's
move on to Watch Party.
Okay,
sounds good.
Get through that.
Do we want to music first or?
Nah, okay. I want to get to the Watch Party and get through it.
Good.
So, like last week, we started with the original Dirty Pair anime from what year was it?
1985.
Wow, that's right, with the Back to the Future thing too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all circular. So we did the first two episodes. Now, for this week, we did three episodes.
Yes.
We did 3, 4, and 5.
We upped the ante.
Mm-hmm. That we did, because there's more episodes in this than the previous Watch Party. So, okay, so the first episode, remember the name of it?
The name is...
It's one of those like classic Japanese double names.
Yeah.
Go ahead, fall in love. Love is Russian roulette.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on this episode? This was the one about the poker chip, right?
Yes.
With the magic thing.
Like, yeah. Supposedly, when you you possess this magical poker chip, you would be unbeatable.
Yeah. I gotta say, first off, these three episodes. They were okay, but they weren't like anything super great for me personally. But but anyway, just so this first one, episode 3. So yeah, what are you guys' thoughts on this episode?
It's really interesting to me seeing how what I feel like is fingerprints of this show on a ton of other stuff like down the line. I mean, obviously the poker chip thing, you could possibly compare it to a certain episode in Cowboy Bebop in a weird sort of way. But
which one?
Lady Luck, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay.
The one when you meet Faye for the first time.
Okay.
But I think what I enjoyed the most out of that episode was probably just having, they seem to be doing it more often, having the big cat bear and the robot kind of team up as like the team B.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you get the feeling like the little robot should be really technically savvy and really good at practically anything it does. Uh-huh. But so far it hasn't really borne that out at
all. It's a mixed bag. It's like, it's pretty good at some things, but it's not perfect.
Right. The entire idea of perfection of robotics is kind of thrown out the window with the thing. It's very useful and apparently it's a completely loyal friend. So that's cool.
It's sort of like, it feels very much like in some ways like an astromech droid. Like it isn't.
Yeah.
It's
good
at what it does, but it's not 100% perfect, and it has a personality that makes it endearing.
I hadn't really thought about it that way, but yeah, the tennis shoes definitely make it endearing.
Yeah, and it would fit because Star Wars was
a post.
Yeah, but so were you referring to the part where like it pretended to make the growl for the cat, or?
No, I was thinking about when they were doing the crazy kind of car chase through the hedge maze.
Oh, and, okay.
And they'd just end up just barreling straight through
the entire thing. Yeah, I'm not doing that.
It's like, well, I mean, if anything could do it, it should be a robot. But yeah, instead it's this limo driver just like, wah, 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 through all these sharp corners like they're nothing. And then the robot just straight through everything.
Yeah, I guess... Maybe I missed it. I was confused why, like, this... Like, I knew, you know, at the end it revealed, you know, that Sydney guy, like, fed information to the 3WA right. or something like that. But I was still trying to remember, like, why would this group care about this? Like,
That's where it's the I feel like they're kind of like a like equal parts police force, but also like a balancing agent for all of the human influence around their empire, for lack of a better phrase. Like, you know, they're like making they kind of like are the thing that makes sure that no one person is too much more powerful than the other one.
In other words, there were a lot of rich folk, and it was making them feel a little bit nervous.
Yeah, because, yeah, I was just trying, it was like, because this guy was, I mean, you learn, like, I guess he's been betting against, like, people, like, he was doing, because, you know, he had, when he led them to his thing, and then they had that group of people, like, okay, we're going to bet on them surviving, like, so I guess this guy was doing that, like, the whole episode, it was just like, I don't understand why they care so, like, why the group they work for. It wasn't like this guy, again, unless I miss it, like, wasn't like this guy was like, you know, leading terrorist organizations or something, or like taking out like people. I was confused. I was like,
honestly, it seemed to me just that it was supposed to be them investigating. And that given that all of the other stuff that they do ends up being big explosive situations, that they were hoping a plain old, like, everyday investigation might mean, like, a lower body count or less explosions than normal.
Yeah, I guess it was just, like, why they were investigating in the first place was...
Yeah, the
got across to me, but...
Yeah, the reason for them going out there was not the clearest of things other than... It made for an interesting. I mean, for just a plot device, like, okay, we'll put them out here. Why? Yeah, we're putting them out here. Okay. it's like these three. Like they almost seem more like trying to get to know Yuri and Kay a little bit more, like as individual.
Yeah.
More than like actual. Like, okay, this is how the universe works. Like, you get a feel for like it still has this rather distinctly Japanese thing where there's like. Super high tech, and yet there's also people like consulting mediums and spiritualists about what their future holds and how to make the most of their technological advantage and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the main thing that I got from it, is like it's a smidgen of world building, but mostly it's the getting to know Kay and Yuri's personalities.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. So moving on to the next episode, unless there's anything else.
No, that's fine.
So the next one was the cat one?
Yes. Yeah. The case smells like cheesecake and death.
See, this one, when you mentioned Cowboy Bebop, this one, I got sort of hinges of like the Ein one, but I hate to put it in that same spot because, like, to me, the Ein one, like, kicks this one's butt, like, completely. Like, this one, I was just like...
I don't disagree, but it just makes me wonder how many seeds this series ended up kind of planting in people's brains just across the board.
Yeah.
Because there's so much stuff that it feels like it's just a little bit ahead of other people, but it's not necessarily perfectly executed. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is kind of one of the reasons why I picked this show. Like, I remember it being like kind of like fun and funky, but also like there's like, it's almost like proto modern anime.
Yeah.
It's like almost the earliest stages of that which we call anime today. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like
at least the stuff that we as a group were into.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. So like it's
there's not much Death Note in here, for instance.
Not yet, anyway.
Yeah. Until that ship comes back.
Yeah.
But it's like it feels like it's a foundational piece in how we can understand like the things that happen in like Bebop or Sucker Punch.
I don't know where you're going.
Yeah, you lost.
So the previous punchline.
Punchline. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Like it's not the exact same, but the like,
Sucker Punchline.
Yeah, slap. the idea of the mega corpse and the industrial star spanning, you know, global stuff, like these kind of elements, like they have their roots in a lot of these classic animes. So.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, this one, I can't remember if it was this one or the previous one where they were like, I mean, I know kind of the joke behind them is like why they're called the Dirty Parish is, you know, all this destruction they leave in their path.
Right.
But it was like, I can't remember if it was this one or the previous one where they were like driving and like just causing accidents, like just
that was the previous one.
Okay, yeah,
yeah. They're driving to the casino to find to get the chip, and they just like zigzag through traffic.
Yeah, I was like, so are you trying to make me not like these two? Like, I get like them causing destruction, like while they're like kind of on a mission, like by accident. But this was just like disregard for everything. It was like, okay, this is weird. Like, it just felt weird to me. It was just like,
yeah, I kind of feel like these ones are sort of like the writers even trying to figure out where these characters sit in the universe and like what are they, how do they respond?
Like even if they just rolled down a window and said something like, "Sorry," and like did kind of like the fake cute like smile or something, like I would have been like, okay, maybe. But this was just like, all right. I mean, I know, okay, yeah, they're teenagers, so it's like you, remember back in that time where you, like, it is more, you know, you think you are the center of the world.
Right.
But it's just like, it's hard. You have
How
to.
How did they get in positions of this kind of authority?
Well, no, not that. It's just, if you're going to do that character, it's like, for me, you have to still, like, make them, like, likable. They were like both, like maybe one of them going like, "Hey, stop driving so crazy." They were both just like, "Eh, like what is going on?" I mean, I know it seems like a weird thing to harp on, but it was just like, okay. I want to like you too, like, but you're
okay.
Menace to society.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here, and maybe it's kind of a dangerous limb to go out on, but I think that they were possibly counting on just the looks of the characters carrying the, like, okay, we're going to like them side of things. Because at the time,
it's possible,
that
was
like the way that you make a cute character.
Yeah. They were pretty archetypal in that respect.
Right.
Yeah.
And they show more skin than most of the characters for the time also on like regular television. Without going too far into territory of being risque either.
Yeah.
And so it feels like,
especially in the next episode.
Right. It feels like it's perfectly targeted at teenagers who are going to already be in that sort of self-centered mode that care probably more about the physical stuff to begin with.
Yeah.
And are probably going to be along the lines of, yeah, I like the way they drive. So yeah, and to be fair, when we as a group first had a chance of seeing this, that's kind of where we were too, if not like maybe a little bit younger. So it kind of fits. So
it's one of those things that's kind of it's of a time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And and that's one of the aspects that does not age as well as others.
Yeah.
Well, and it's like half and half. Time and culture, I believe, because I feel like a lot of the kind of physical side of things still ends up being a really big influence in Japanese stuff. So, I mean, I don't know how far to go on that without making it sound kind of racy type of thing, but it is a cultural thing, difference.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's definitely elements to it, but you know, it's not going to stop me from, you know, my opinion on it and your opinions on it.
No, I completely understand because you are the age that you are now, so it makes sense.
But
yeah, it wasn't necessarily made for you as a target audience. I believe.
Yeah.
But
yeah, going back to the actual episode, like like the thing with their cat friend was like interesting little drops in it, but yeah, the rest of the episode and this one I was just like,
it was a fairly typical like caper sort of madcap. That my favorite part of that one was the whole like weird traffic jam on the floating piece of highway suspended from the helicopter.
Oh, with the fight. With
yeah.
The,
yeah. Yeah. I thought that was pretty good. Like the guy at the helicopter was like yelling at him, no, go forward 3 meters and stop. No, backwards. What are you trying to do? You're trying to wreck me here. What's going on?
There's a weird kind, for me, genuinely satisfying sense of humor that this show has that I don't, it's so off as far as like normal sense of humor goes. Like I absolutely loved, and the entire thing where it was like the newlywed couple and and the girls like kept bursting in to try and find the cat. I don't know why that made me like really happy for some reason.
Well, if you're just tuning in here on KSU Santa Clara, we are in a watch party. We're talking about the original Dirty Pair. We're going to move on to episode 5 now.
Yes, episode 5 is Cradio's Heartbeat.
See, now this one, this one upset me because it had like for me, I guess what I hoped the villain that was chasing them turned out to be like, wasn't like I was really shooting for like, oh man, is this gonna be like Brian or something? Because they sort of made it sound like you know, this thing, or maybe the stuff was like a collection of crap and junk and old stuff that like is toxic or bad or things that like they've fought or other people fought, and it's kind of like a trash pile thing that's been all collected and stuff like that. And I was just thinking like, oh, that would be so cool, because they do. Again, I can't remember if it's this episode. One of the episodes in this, they do flashback, or they go back to the first episode of their people trying to fix the building, like they're working on
that
it.
That was the previous one.
Okay,
that was the previous one. Yeah.
So yeah, so it was not like those were nice little touches of like, oh, you know, still going back to that. Yeah, of like, oh, you know, all the damage they caused in that first episode, you know, they're still trying to fix that, that building.
The workers like complaining, man, if it weren't for those two, we wouldn't have to work so hard all this time.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have to be getting all of this overtime.
So
where they lost me.
I'll take the money. But yeah.
Ka-ching.
So that, it just made me think like, oh, that'd be so cool. Cause then if it like, it turned out to be like a messed up Brian or a piece of Brian or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was just some thing that was like they fought in their past that were just like, whatever. Like it was like exposition stuff of just like, well, X number of years ago we did this. Like, I don't know. It sounds like I'm super hard on it, but it was just like,
no, I think it's fair.
It was not the strongest villain character that they could have used.
I was sort of hoping that it would be not necessarily Brian, but a wider problem with the computers or something like that.
Like the AIs are like banding together. And
something like that. And I think it might still kind of end up that way. I'm not completely sure, just because this was obviously some sort of like brain merged with an AI type of thing.
Yeah.
And so I think they might be edging that way. Who knows?
Yeah.
The other side of it is this is sci-fi Scooby-Doo is what it is.
Yeah.
It's a two-person team doing sci-fi Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, more or less. It's a very apt description.
Yeah.
I mean, they have the mystery machine and everything. It might be pink and looks like a toilet seat,
but they have the two sort of main characters, a brainy character, which would be the robot, and then they have the cute animal sidekick. So it's almost the full mystery machine crew.
Yeah. The robot. Oh man, the robot is Velma.
Unfortunately, in this case,
that's sad.
But it's still very cute. So there.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, we'll go for that.
But yeah, honestly, it makes me curious what episode 6 is going to be like, and if it will like advance beyond these kind of like very very episodic stories and start getting into a more cohesive plot. Because I wonder if that's where it will hit like episode maybe 10 or so, and then like and that's when they'll really start picking up, like, oh, we actually do have a plot for the end of this this series.
Here's another idea, maybe. Is maybe this is more of a direct jump from like normal, and I don't know if there's anything that functions the same way over there, but kind of like Sunday comics type of thing, where it's supposed to be just like a kind of fun storyline once a week type of thing that they just made a transition and made it into an animated series instead. Because the closest thing that I have to compare it to is like completely and totally beloved, but is a lot the same kind of thing, is Lupin.
Lupin the Third, yeah.
Yeah, it's... There's always that sort of Scooby-Doo element, like, oh, well, of course, this is the rich dude from blah, 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 who lived for 300 years somehow, and nobody knows why.
Yeah,
and
a lot of the bad guys in their blue suits that are like all the gangsters have the same exact look. Which I think is pretty very much in line with that.
So yeah, I feel like there's a precedent for it even over there, even if it isn't what we'd consider kind of high art now. It might be one of those kind of stepping stones of how it ended up where it is today.
It is a little bit like Lupin in space. But instead of
we're just gonna call everything that we compare this to, it's gonna be whatever in space.
Yeah, just
we've already compared.
Space.
It's gonna be like Cowboy Bebop in space.
But Cowboy Bebop's already in space.
Scooby-Doo in space.
Scooby-Doo in space.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, especially in space with Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah.
How much?
It's only
space
partially in space.
Yeah. What else is in space?
Dance.
Or is it time? Yes,
space,
it is time.
Dance.
On Friday, November 6th at noon, in a return performance at San Francisco City Hall Rotunda, Nayamli? Nepal's Pan-African Dance Company will perform a harvest dance known as the Farming Ballet. Performed by a line of drummers and dancers who will be wearing different regional masks from Liberia. Many of them were created by Namele Napala, the group's director and dancer, choreographer, and costume designer. The 2016 series will be announced later this fall. Visit dancersgroup.org/rotunda or call 415-920-9181 for more information. And I apologize for butchering your name.
And I'm sorry for giving you a really hard PSA.
No worries.
It sounds really cool to me.
It sounds like an interesting event.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of interesting events, I think we want to wrap up our thoughts on episode 5. I kind of liked episode 5 mostly because I thought the design elements of the show were some of the strongest I've seen in a while. Like the big ship was like, kind of like, whoa. Plus, it probably doesn't hurt that I've been picked up Dead Space again, and like the depth of depth of space, and like looking into these monstrous ships, and like kind of going, ooh, that's probably where my brain is right now. So I'm sure that's helping.
Yeah,
I kind of enjoyed that.
It reminded me of another J.J. Abrams moment from the first of the two Star Treks that he did. With that giant mining vessel.
Oh, the Romulan vessel, yeah.
Because they had almost the same shot with the stuff like kind of spread out around and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
it's kind of funny, as they were flying into the core, I was like, oh, look, it's proto Citadel on Mass Effect.
Yeah, kind of.
I miss the little like... when like the ship was too small to paint on the screen, so they like... did like the little like highlight star effect that like traveled through the like I miss when the shows did that, like they actually like go in close to the ship now, which is cool too. Just like I kind of miss that shot.
Yeah, the other thing that I don't know if that episode specifically had much to do with it, but it's something that I've noticed in all of them so far is just the really low budget voice effects that they have for all the different stuff. I love that both the cat and the robot are just some like old guy just vaguely doing like either a robot or a cat voice.
Yeah.
But it extends farther. Like some of the actual sounds for technical equipment and so on too, you can tell it's just some dude making the sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I will say I'm still like, there's still little bits in each of these episodes that I enjoyed, and I'm still like enjoying the series.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to see where it goes. It just, these three weren't as much for me as the other two, but we want to hear what you think of these episodes too out there. So definitely let us know. Be a part of the watch party. It's still not too late, even mm-hmm. though we're gonna do 6, 7, and 8 next.
Yes.
So
perfect.
We'll hit those next week. And all right, we're gonna take a music break.
Sounds
and
great.
We'll come back with new releases and the news.
Woot!
All righty, be back with more Robots Attack after this.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here in KCU Santa Clara. And hey, if you want to listen to KCU even when you're not in your radio, you can stream us whenever you want at KCU.org or on the TuneIn radio app or website and never be without the underground sound. And our pro tip?
Search for KCU to find us faster.
That's right. Okay, and to speed along with the new releases, I got some movies here in the theater. We got Burnt, stars Bradley Cooper. He's like a chef or something. There's Our Brand is Crisis. It stars Sandra Bullock and facing off against Billy Bob Thornton, two opposing Bolivian presidential candidates or something like that.
Sweet.
There's Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. Pretty self-explanatory. Scouts versus zombies. Then there's a movie about a family of beekeepers called The Wonders, living in stark isolation in Tuscan countryside. And then the reality show shows up in a troubled teenage boy comes along. Well, there's a handful for you.
Ooh, I want beekeepers versus zombies. That's what I want.
A handful of Blu-rays and DVDs. Southpaw, champion boxer, riding high in his own wave of his own making. But when his well he holds dear is ripped away, he finds himself at the very bottom. With the help of an exceptional trainer, he brings puts his life and his family back together. The Gift, also on Blu-ray and DVD. Seemingly happy couple in a suburban home. Childhood friend shows up and things go weird. Pixels on Blu-ray and DVD. Aliens. They watched video games. They thought that we were a threat and used video games against us. And now it's up to our arcade players to save our necks. Human Centipede number 3 on Blu-ray and DVD. It seems like there's no end to this awful movie series. I wonder if it will ever have an evil love child with Sharknado. Then
just that thing flopping around.
A few notable classics that are also coming. They're coming to Blu-ray: Monty Python and the Holy Grail Anniversary Edition, mm-hmm. and Mulholland Drive Criterion Collection.
Hmm. Cool. Okay, in the fine world of video games, I'm gonna start from the back and move my way up to the beginning instead to kind of heighten the tension. So yeah, be ready for that. First up, we have Chime Sharp coming to PC on October 31st. Main reason I mentioned this one is because I think the only person who ever played it is right next to me, and this is the sequel to it.
Woo! Sequel!
Next up, we have a remastered edition of something that apparently has turned out much better now that it's been remastered for the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One. Divinity Original Sin comes out on the 27th. I know a lot of people have been complaining, we want more of the RPGs, especially on the Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
Here you go. Next up, we have Darksiders 2, the definitive... I can't say
very
that.
Very clever. Very
definitive edition. Coming October 27th of this year, to the PS4 and Xbox One. A lot of people are saying that it's coming just to the PS4, but as far as I can tell, that's not true. It's apparently coming to both. So,
time
will
tell.
Have hope, Xbox Oneers. Woo. Next up, we have, for all of the things that matter, WWE 2K16 coming out on the 27th as well. For the Xbox One, Xbox 360, PS3, and 4.
You can't see me!
I'm not looking at you.
So you can't see me.
Yeah, that's true. Apparently it has like an absolutely gigantic roster, over 100 playable characters. It looks pretty spectacular, and I'm not a wrestling guy, so pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Next up, probably the big one.
Little indie game, right?
That everybody's probably heard of, and at least if you're an Xboxer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Halo 5 Guardians is coming out on the 27th. There's already fistfights in the street over whether it's good or not.
Master Chef will That's something else entirely.
Right, and fistfights in the street over whether Xbox lied about what the story is. And just...
Did they even tell us what the story was, really?
If you're interested in it, check it out for yourself. Maybe decide for yourself.
Because reviewers are human, too. Right. And they have opinions, not facts.
Yeah. Anyway, it does look absolutely staggering in its presentation, and I think everybody has agreed with that it definitely shows that the Xbox One can rock the high frames per second and the 1080p.
All of the P's and all the graphical details.
You can get all of your P's and eat them too, I think.
Nice.
Yes.
Speaking of things that are graphically stunning, comic books! Superman number 45 comes out of DC this week. Superman's identity has been exposed, and he has vowed justice on all those that would harm those he cares about. But what happens when his bluff is called? Gosh. Then at Marvel... This title is a soft spot in my heart because I always liked Spider-Man 2099, but now it's Spider-Man 2099 number 2. The future is looking pretty good for Miguel O'Hara. He has a good job at Parker Enterprises, life is stabilizing, and he has a budding relationship. So it might be time to hang up the web spinners, but that's never been the path of any of the web slingers. Over at Dark Horse, it's Hellboy and the BPRD 1953. Number one.
Cool.
It's a lot of numbers. These are stories from the...
And it kind of rhymes.
It does. These are stories from Hellboy's earliest days on Earth. There's a phantom hand of a murderer and a demonic water spirit.
Does that mean it's like a baby Hellboy, or is it like
Young Hellboy. So like it's not quite baby, more probably along the lines of teenage.
Oh, man. I gotta see.
I'm not positive. I haven't actually read it myself yet. From Image, it's Black Magic, number one. Rowan Black is a detective with questions about who she is and what her future holds. And there are those in the community of Portsmouth that have long memories. Perhaps one of them will shed some light on the mystery of Rowan Black. And from IDW, it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, number 51. The events of issue 50 have opened up new futures for the Turtles. Which one will they take?
Dun, dun, dun.
And that rounds out comics.
Oh, will they meet toads that battle? Mm. All right, I will...
Or samurai rabbits. Mm,
that's true. Oh, you know, speaking of that...
Samurai toads.
I saw your post. I'm surprised you never mentioned this. The books you ordered came in that you were like super excited about.
Oh, yes, yes. I haven't said
nothing that. Happens in my life.
I haven't sat down to read
it's really
them yet,
boring.
So they're
okay. I'll give you that.
Just my favorite things in the world
Whatever.
Came into my life.
When I have more to talk about them, I will let you know.
Okay. You better.
We'll do.
All right. So I'll wrap up with music. We got The Things We Do to Find People Who Feel Like Us by Beach Slang, the debut full length release for the Pennsylvania punk band. There's Many Moons by Martin Courtney. It's a debut full-length solo release for the Real Estate Frontman. It was produced by Woods Jarvis Taverine. And then we've got Return to the Moon by Elvie. This is the debut release for the side project of the Nationals, Matt Berninger and Menomanas Brent Knopf, whatever.
Sweet.
So there you go. There's some new releases. Alrighty, I think it's time to step into...
news.
That's right. That's newsom, gents.
Alrighty. Lead off with one of my favorite subjects, space.
What?
Yes.
I cannot believe that.
I know. So, there... When we talk about space, where since we actually aren't out in it, we have a lot of instruments that are out in it, feeding us data, lots and lots of delicious data,
like computerized violins, or
they might be doing it with cats, but that's a different issue entirely.
Risque.
Data has a cat, anyways. Spot, come on now.
I'm sorry.
Now all this data, like it
really threw him off.
One of the ways that you can analyze the data is look at it, just like see numbers and stuff. You can visualize it, where they take the all the information, they feed it into like an image processor, like Photoshop or something like that, and turn it into an image. Alternately, you can also turn it into sound. And some of the scientists over at CERN have invented the thing they call the cosmic piano. And what it does is it takes the raw data of space and turns it into sounds. So the...
Wasn't that in Barbarella?
Not quite the same, although it was technically a cosmic piano. But I think it was actually a cosmic organ, but that's a different issue entirely.
Oh, okay. Oh. Makes more sense. Yes.
Anyway.
And we're talking about the instrument.
Right.
Organ.
Right. Yes. Okay. Yes. A musical instrument.
You mentioned Barbarella, so, you know, want to clarify.
Yeah.
So anyways, some of the scientists have turned the different frequencies and data patterns of the background radiation of the universe into sounds and voices, particular voices, so that you can layer them and create music out of it, but also just the sonification. They basically sonify the data, so you can hear when things peak. When you're just like getting data, and you're like, what does it all mean? Like, how do you find a visual spike? Those can be harder to spot because, like, seeing a planet transit across a star doesn't change the data very much visually, but it might.
Okay.
But if it was an auditory response, you can actually be like, oh wait, I heard a little plip right there because it didn't match the other sounds. So that's the kind of the science application. The other aspect is kind of like falls into the whole STEM idea, where it's STEAM, where it's the art within the science, engineering, technology, and math that brings that all together. So it's like it's what we know and how can we display it in a way that makes it accessible to those that may not have the technical skill or the engineering background to take the data itself.
Gotcha.
But they can still do things with it. And it's very cool. They and they actually were able to break it down into like notes on a scale and have real performers with real instruments do it as well. Huh. So it's like an interesting mix of like this digital and analog conjoining of things. It's pretty cool.
Hmm. Do they have any?
Yes,
any
there's some samples in the story.
Nice.
Okay, it's sort of related to that, but not an actual story. I want your feelings on the entire them maybe finding alien structures thing. Did you hear about that?
I have not heard about this story yet, but I will definitely look that one up.
I'll see if I can find it and maybe present it as the next story after this. But for now, we have Walmart duking it out with Amazon.
What?
And Taco Bell.
Taco Bell?
Taco Bell.
Okay. I feel like I'm in Demolition Man all of a sudden.
Sort of. Kind
yeah. of. You're sticking this to Taco Bell.
I had to throw that in specifically so I could get somebody to make that comment. Okay. What does Walmart have in common with those two? Walmart
size?
Hey, that's... Size doesn't matter, dude. Okay. Walmart has filed with the Federal Aviation Administration for permission to test with drones.
Oh.
So
is it a multiple choice test, or is it like what kind of test?
I think they're flying tests.
Oh, okay.
I think they plan on flying the drones.
Okay.
But if maybe they're really smart. I don't know. Hmm. They should do some math tests with them just to make sure that they don't get ideas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Try and take over the world or anything
something
like that.
That.
But yes, if any drones are going to take over the world, it's going to be Walmart drones, I'm sure.
A pretty good chance of that.
But yeah, Walmart has apparently been doing indoor testing because they have the space.
I mean, no.
Yeah.
For quite some time, which is the legal way for them to do it. But they need to move to outdoor testing in order to move to their next phase. Now, whether they'll be able to actually do any sort of usable, like, drone delivery model like they're trying to plan on doing mm-hmm. with the current FAA rules, I really have some doubts. But they are taking the steps to do it all lawfully to at least explore
okay.
the possibilities so, of this. Mm-hmm. But so far, the kind of deal breaker is that you need to actually have your eyes on where the drone is, like physically at all times, without the aid.
Yeah, that's one of the rules right now is you can't fly outside of sight.
Right. You can't even binocular that stuff.
Yeah, it has to be within the range of your natural vision.
Right. So I'm thinking Walmart is going to breed people with crazy natural vision just for this.
Or maybe they'll have like bicycles and they'll just like follow the drones along or something.
That could work too. Okay.
Maybe a little easier than the whole breeding thing. Maybe.
Hey, if anybody's going to do it, Walmart's going to do it. They have secret breeding programs all over the place, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. You're here first, folks.
like all those people from Dune.
The Fremen.
There you go. So, oh, yeah. And mm-hmm. speaking of
uh-huh.
Dune, since Dune is in space
uh-huh.
and
yes.
stuff. One of
at
our,
times.
At times. One of our listeners tweeted us and said that Elton John could probably play the intergalactic piano.
Uh-huh. It's certainly got into the sparkles for it to be an intergalactic piano.
I think so. Okay, so have you ever heard the expression?
No.
Better sleep with one eye open.
Mm-hmm.
Of course you have.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Well, crocodiles may take that phrase literally.
Oh.
Whoa.
And that's actually the correct use of literally.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Like,
not figuratively, but literally.
Wow.
Like
literally,
literally.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, literally, literally.
Dang.
According to a new study.
Crocodiles know how to do it right.
They do. And they're not alone. To stay abreast of potential threats in their environment, crocs sometimes keep an eye open while snoozing, scientists found.
Huh.
Lots of animals close one eye while sleeping, including birds and some aquatic mammals, said John Lescu, a research fellow at La Trobe University in Australia, and one of the authors of the new study. But not much research has been conducted on the one-eyed naps of crocodiles, which are more closely related to birds than they are to other reptiles, according to the study researchers. By taking a look at how often crocs hang out with one eye open, Lescu and his colleagues hope to shed some light on the mystery of when this behavior may have evolved and whether it's actually unusual. After all, it could be that the tendency of humans and other terrestrial mammals to shut both eyes while sleeping is what's strange. Maybe we're the strange ones.
Whoa.
No, impossible. There's more of us.
Sleeping with one eye open is known as unihemispheric sleep, and it occurs when one side of the brain remains awake while the other half enters a sleep state.
It's like energy-saving mode.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. During unihemispheric sleep, the eye that is neurologically connected to the wakeful part of the brain stays open, a behavior known as unilateral eye closure, or UEC. Though UEC is helpful for watching out for predators, some animals also engage in this behavior to keep an eye on their own kind. Aquatic mammals such as bottlenose dolphins and killer whales often use UCE to track one another in the water, according to Lescu, who said there are a few theories about why they do this. Quote, it is thought that UCE reflects a way of maintaining group cohesiveness in a highly social animal. It could also be that in a fairly boring aquarium, they simply keep their eye open on the most interesting thing, each other. Lescu told Live Science in an email. He added that researchers need to carry out more observations of these animals in their native habitats to find out if either of these explanations is correct. But regardless of why aquatic animals sleep with one eye open, it's clear that all animals that engage in this behavior do so to monitor their environment in some way, Lescu said, and crocodiles are no exception. So there's more to the story. You can go read the rest of it on our Facebook and Twitter page. We'll post out the link along with the other stories you mentioned, because usually a lot of our stories have cool videos or pictures. And
yes,
those are hard to take a part of while you're listening on the radio.
Since it's such a visual medium, the radio, ain't at all.
Not yet, no. I'm sure we'll figure out some way to make it. But
yeah.
Eventually. But yeah, maybe, though, Jason, maybe we're the strange ones.
Mm-hmm.
And
Maybe.
We'll just have to see.
Yeah.
Once the research comes
heavy
in.
Heavy on the A-B.
On the A-B, not so much on the M.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, speaking of crocodiles, now you can't, really like
you can't
find
a
forever
crocodile.
Home. No, you can't really find a forever home per se at San Jose Animal Advocates with crocodiles. But, if you're an animal lover and you want to help homeless animals find forever homes, but you don't have much time, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. Through help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook.
All right. Again, drop into our next topic, which is a story about 3D printing. Shocker.
Man, what? In you're space? Stealing my stories and I'm stealing your stories.
I know. What the heck? No, not in space. But this is actually very much here on Earth. Although they are doing 3D printing in space. But that's a different issue entirely.
It's a story for another night.
Another night, yes. We're currently in the Philippines, the first ever 3D printed building that will be put into commercial use has been completed.
Nice.
What?
Yeah, it took 100 hours to 3D print a two-room villa at which is part of the Lewis Grand Hotel in the Philippines.
Is it a villa or a via? How do you pronounce that?
It's a villa, I'm fairly sure.
Okay.
But I could be mistaken. We shall find out at some other point. The thing that makes it kind of interesting is that the guy who created the 3D printer, his goal is to use it to create inexpensive and typhoon resistant housing for lower income people.
Okay.
His goal is to make 2,000 homes over the next 2 years.
3D printing seems like a way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It will save about 60% on the building costs using this process. And actually, this is like the second version of the printer that he used to make the hotel. So like he's like trying to refine the process even further, making it more efficient, and ideally be doing up to 6 different houses all at the exact same time.
Nice.
So. And it's a cement 3D printer, so it's made out of concrete. So it'd
be a little bit weird if it was a plastic one.
Yes, it would. But they use a lot of the locally sourced materials and minerals to make the concrete and so it's all effectively from the same location. So it's kind of cool.
Okay, a lot like the space ones, actually.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So that brings us back to space.
Space.
Okay. Stay with me because this has a payoff. If you weren't listening before, or if you were listening before, you probably already heard the payoff, but just forget that I said anything about that. Okay. Here's the deal. These people, they were looking off into space. They might be people from Penn State and Yale University.
Okay.
So people with space cred.
And with enough letters after their name that you can trust them to see something interesting.
Right. So they were taking a gander at all of the footage that they could possibly get their hands on that is kind of like the discarded footage that normally people don't have time to process, but these guys, since they're so hardcore, they're taking the time to process it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking through stuff from the Kepler telescope.
Oh, okay.
And
that's the planet finding telescope, for those who don't know.
There you go. So I found out when I was reading another thing related to this that the main way that they find the planets is just by fluctuations in the light off of the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And so they basically just see kind of a little blip of shade from the star, and so it means that something's like cycling around it. So that makes some sense. But there's certain things that they expect from certain ages of stars, because a young star tends to have more crud around it, because it's not formed its solar systems yet. There's a lot of random junk around it.
Not enough planetary accretion just yet.
That stuff. Not enough of it. So, you get an older star, though, and it's usually, you know, it's settled down a little bit. It's got all that stuff that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so you generally get, like, a pretty steady fluctuation from it, if any.
Pattern of light,
That shows that, like, there's some planets around this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this one star was going completely and totally nuts.
Okay.
That was, like, really old.
Huh.
And so they were thinking to themselves, well, how do we even explain this? It's not young. It doesn't have a bunch of random crud around it.
Right.
So that doesn't fit with this entire thing. And it seems to be a pretty steady, like, measurable amount of time that these blips are happening.
Mm-hmm.
So the crud, whether it be planets or whatever, that's cycling around the star, seems to be, like, in a normal flow. Like,
okay, I think I remember hearing a little bit about this.
Okay.
Yes.
That brings us directly to science fiction.
Oh.
Yes. And a video game that we were talking about earlier tonight. There's a little game called Halo that works off of the premise that a sufficiently aged alien civilization would try and use every bit of power that they could from a star. And so they'd try and build either a dome around a star.
Called a Dyson Sphere.
Or a ring around a star.
Which is Halo. The Halo.
Anyway, in theory, either one of these things are completely crazy, because just having enough stuff to be able to do either of those things is, like, way out there. That's levels of technology that we can't even comprehend, but it's still a solid theory. And if you were trying to do that theory and you were sufficiently aged race,
advanced,
all that stuff.
It's advanced.
You might try and just do a ring of tethers instead, where it's effectively space junk that's all connected together.
So a Dyson web as opposed to an actual Dyson sphere?
That's the best idea that it sounds like so far. Okay. Anyway, so as far as a lot of people are looking at this right now, a lot of people are looking at, like, this is probably one of the better explanations for what could be happening with this star, because of the way it's flashing. So anyway, it could be any number of other things. They don't think so, because they've eliminated most of those other things because they don't make sense. But maybe it's something we don't know about yet. But one of those things that we don't know about yet could be alien life.
So what you're saying is, if you had vanilla and chocolate ice cream together, then you added, like, a ring of mint around it.
Okay.
It would make it even better?
If you like mint, yeah. So okay. If you like alien life and stars.
It's a Naruto throwback.
Yeah. Totally missed that.
It just no made me think of, like, because the parts that I'm watching, like, you know, Naruto's training with the old sage toad and, like, his bunnies next to him. And old sage toad is trying to explain, like, how to do all these things. And Naruto's like, yes. Oh, so, and the other toad's like, no, you need to explain it this way to Naruto. It's like, he's like, so imagine if you had vanilla and chocolate ice cream, and then he added a layer of mint to it. He's like, oh! So that's what was going through my brain while you two guys were talking like this. That's like,
that makes sense. That makes sense.
Crossing your arms, nodding your head, eyes closed. Yes.
So it makes sense. It makes sense.
That a bio.
All right. Since we've only got a few minutes left, I'm going to wrap us up with this day in history, unless someone has a story that they are dying to get out. No?
No, go for it.
Figuratively dying, not actually dying. Okay, so this day in history, October 26th, 1774, the first Continental Congress adjourned in Philadelphia.
Oh, there you go.
So, are we... So.
That's good
news. Are we on?
Well, the fact that we had a Continental Congress is kind of the positive of that, and so they met so, amicably and they left amicably. Yeah. So there you go.
So we're
positive.
Starting off. Yeah, we need to keep a little chart track like each day of like, okay, the positive check or negative, like where how many checks get. Okay, so then we jump to 1825, the Erie Canal connecting Lake Erie to the Hudson River opened.
Hey.
So. We still...
I put that in the positive.
Okay, all right. Then we jump to 1881. Wyatt Earp, his two brothers, and Doc Holliday were involved in the gunfight at the OK Corral in Tombstone, Arizona.
I don't know if that's good, but that's historic.
They were trying to do good things.
Yeah.
We'll put that there. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. We're probably going to have to come up with a like middle... ground one where he puts up and is like, well, is it? I guess it could go either way.
Yeah.
And then we jump to 1975.
Whoa.
I'm probably going to butcher this. I apologize. Any Egyptians out there? But Anwar Sadat became the first Egyptian president to
pay
an official visit to the United States. All right, cool. Okay, then we jump 4 years later to 1979. I apologize to any South Koreans out there. South Korean President Park Chung-hee.
Sounds about
no
right.
idea.
Was killed by the head of the Korean Central Intelligence Agency.
That's a... Yeah, no, we're going to put that one under. Actually, I'm not sure, because usually stuff like that is like there's some...
Was he bad, or was he...
Yeah.
No.
He was starting to be a little bit too good.
Yeah.
Then we jump to 1994. Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin of Israel and Prime Minister Abdel Salam Mahali of Jordan signed a peace treaty in a ceremony attended by President Clinton.
Okay. I think it's Yitzhak for the first Yitzhak, one.
Okay.
But I don't know. The second one.
Attempts at peace or positive stuff.
Yeah.
So that's good. Then we jump to the 2000s, 2002 to be exact.
Ooh.
Russian government forces stormed the Moscow theater held by Chechen rebels. More than 100 hostages were killed.
That's very much a mixed bag.
No, I'm going to go with bad.
Yeah.
3 years later, 2005, the Chicago White Sox sweep the Houston Astros to win their first World Series in 88 years.
Oh, bad.
I guess if you're a Houston Astros fan.
Yeah, I guess it wasn't how you spin it, but first one in 88 years, we'll call that net positive.
I don't care how many years it was.
Jason's still bitter. Yeah. Because he's such a huge Houston Astros fan. He bleeds whatever
the Astro
colors
socks
they
right
are.
Now.
You just bleed the whatever color the Houston Astros are.
The peach in
is that their
blue.
Colors?
Yeah.
We are totally sporters. Can't you tell?
Yeah.
I'm the most sporty of the sportsmen's.
Yep. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week's Robots Attack.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. We got another tweet from one of our listeners.
Sweet. Oh, what's that?
Can the show wrap with Jason saying definitive again?
Definitive?
Oh, I'm not sure if it can definitively wrap that way.
Well, I call that a definitive way to close this out.
Yes.
Can you definitively definitive this infinitive?
I don't know if I can figuratively or literally or positively in space or not. But anyway, that'll do it for our show. We want to appreciate you all by saying thank you. I don't know if that sentence makes any sense. But anyway, thanks for listening. We'll be back again next Monday from 7 to 9. Have a wonderful weekend. Of course, this Saturday is Halloween. So
right.
Go have fun. And
have a definitively...
There you go.
Wonderful Halloween.
You even used it in a sentence.
Nice.
I needed it to give it structure, I guess.
There you go. Yeah. Perfect. Perfect. But yes, have fun, stay safe, and yeah.
We'll see you again next week. Well, you'll hear us again next week.
Figuratively.
Yeah. Figuratively. Figuratively. There you go. All right. All right. Take it easy, everybody. Let me make sure I'm on the last thing that we need. All right.
Raccoon. Veronica. Misto.